Welcome to Crypto Nights, where we help you finally make sense of the trending world of cryptocurrencies. So gather your virtual piggy bank and let's get started.
I'm talking about the modern banking in Europe. Yes, there were many forms of banking before, because there were civilizations way before that, right? Like you talked about grain. The problem with all those things is their expiry date. Grain and sheep, livestock was used actually as deposit. The problem with livestock is it dies. The problem with grain is it rots after some time, right? So, and it becomes useless. So there was a time limit, an expiry date to these kinds of assets. But metals emerged, and going back to the original story of metals, metals emerged because metals were durable. That means they have a long shelf life, right? And they just sit there. Maybe gather some dust and some rust, maybe, but oxidation, you know, maybe. But they do sit there for a long time. And gold, by the way, is more durable than other things. And that's what made it precious, the characteristics of gold, right? The durability, the fact that it doesn't lose its shine. Maybe you just dust it off, polish it a little bit, and gold is gold, right? So gold has this peculiar properties as a metal. And that's what made it attractive. It looks good. It's the specific gravity, you know, the is correct, you know, like and relative to other metals, right? It's comfortable. It can be divisible easily. It can measure in finer quantities and broken into faster. Can be merged back and can be worn to show off your wealth. It's the only asset you can actually wear on your body. Right? I don't know how good it is to carry my bags of grain everywhere to show I. So there was a showing off also. So a lot of things came together to make gold what it is. More than a belief. So it was natural process of the market, and that's why I use the metal as example and not grain or livestock.
And the specific gravity was a very important point. That's what helped you determine whether this was real gold or not.
Correct.
It's very easy to determine that. So that was important. See, each of these forms of currency have their own characteristics. There are some drawbacks that naturally come with them. So given your specific gravity idea, it's easy to determine for an expert, I would imagine, that what you're giving me is a bar of gold and not of half a bar of gold and half a bar of copper combined in some intelligent way. It's very easy to make out the difference in specific gravity if somebody did that. So...
Beautiful. Actually, let me just interrupt you because it's an excellent point. If I can just take a couple of thoughts about that. So that specific gravity, that property that you know and can be measured is very easy to authenticate. So there's a durability, there's an authentication, right? How do you know this is truly gold, right? And not adulterated. With something else, mixed with something else that's made to look like gold. So it's very easy and fast to determine. So it's very hard to tinker with and adulterate gold. So the specific gravity, the physical properties of gold made it so. So it was a very fast check to see the authenticity of what you're getting.
So we are now coming up with various characteristics. We are almost drawing up a list of criteria that determine what money is, right? It should be easy to carry around. That's one of the important things. It cannot be easily counterfeited. At the same time, it's very easy to validate. So you're able to validate that this is really gold. And in case of gold, you don't care what the heck is counterfeiting mean. If you're giving me a bar of gold worth £1, somebody else takes that and gives me another bar of gold. I don't care if he gave me the same bar of gold you gave him or some other bar of gold. They're fungible.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And so you see, you know, those are amazing. If you list down those characteristics, it's a common sense list. Easy to carry, can be counterfeited, you know, fast authentication, right? Can be counterfeited easily, but also in case it is, or adulterated or counterfeited, you can authenticate it and reject it and say, sorry, this is not what it is, right? And it's fungible, it's divisible, fungible, and it's durable. And it is easy to store, easy to carry, easy to store, so that you don't require a lot of things, easy to store, lay claim of possession on it. So these are, we can define like a list of 5 or 10 items and what makes money, money, okay? The real money, I mean, gold asset. And then the paper transition to that is the difference, a different story, of course. Oh yeah, I might want to add, I was just thinking, and also it can be inflated and produced that fast and produced at will. Of course, there were people all through the history, there was even a branch called alchemy, right? That were trying to make this gold. Then the funny thing is, if had they succeeded in doing so, then gold would not be gold, because the other characteristic is it should be hard to produce at will. That means I just can't just spend an hour and produce all this stuff, all this gold. And if I do so, then everybody will be doing it. And then they're inflating it, and then it loses value, because that's not a property of a currency for exchange. It has to remain more or less stable in supply in the marketplace, more or less. It should be much harder. You need to spend more money to dig up and make a bar of gold, a ounce of gold, than you would spend it buying it in the marketplace for somebody. So that's the kind of thing that makes it not worth for us to go out and just dig in sand everywhere. Forget the California gold rush, you know. But other than that, many, after some time, it's very stable currency. It has to be, it can be inflated or produced that easily. Yeah, does it make sense?
I was saying that is easy to carry, cannot be easily counterfeited, fungible, easily authenticated. Obviously, it has to be, there has to be a common story. It has to be popular that everybody recognizes it and admits it as an exchange of value. It's durable. If it gets wet or is in fire, it should still survive that. It should be something that you can store and safeguard. And, you know, it'll be good also if we can somehow prove ownership, if the ownership can also be. That's why, you know, some of these are not good. With gold, a bar of gold, if I had it and I gave it to you, there's no way to prove the ownership of a bar of gold. And then you went to paper. Paper in many ways is better. It's easily carryable, more easy to carry than a bar of gold, which is heavy. But the problem with paper is now you have a host of other problems. Number one is it can be counterfeited. Maybe it can be destroyed. Maybe it can catch fire. And if government took over, then the danger that the government is the only one that can print more of these, causing inflation and causing the value of what you put under your mattress. I don't know why we always say put money in the mattress. Maybe that's where people used to hide money. I don't know. But putting people, the money that is so-called safe in the mattress is no longer safe because somebody is printing more money and the value of the money you had became half. So, and like you said, hard to produce at will. So, a bar of gold. I like that alchemy example. Gold became so popular, so famous, so valuable that people thought, boy, can I take some of these base ones and take some copper and produce gold? So luckily that was not possible. So, and the funniest thing is it does not have to, the governments of the world are under this illusion that they have to approve currencies. I don't get it, because you have a bag of potatoes. I have a bag of tomatoes. I say, hey, I'm going to give you some tomatoes. Can you give me some potatoes? And I give it to you and I take it from you. And then tomorrow there'll be headlines. The government proclaims that tomatoes are not legal tender. Yeah. And then everybody is like sweating. Oh my God, can't use tomatoes to buy potatoes. And tomatoes, guys, from now on are not legal tender.
And if I may interject there, you know, they can, states can say what they want, but they cannot override demand in the marketplace. It will find its way. And when some countries up their tariffs and barriers to free flow of goods, say, then goods will flow anyway. Demand will find its way to get fulfilled in the marketplace. And then the governments will call that such activity illegal and will call it smuggling. Okay. So smuggling is not smuggling. It's a trade. So now we get into moral connotations and judgments, right? And taint something as smuggling, or people say black money in some countries like India. Black money. And what makes money black? Because, oh, you didn't pay taxes. But it's currency. So is there a black gold? Yeah. So black money and blood money, because it was gotten from illegitimate activities. And so somebody traded it for a goods, and now it had landed in your hands. And from there, you traded it for something else. So how far back in this causal, in this transaction chain do we go to, and why should we? Because the movement, and so this is the problem. One of the other things is ownership is good, but traceability and wanting to know about every prior transaction where this coin came from, right? And that comes with the money laundering stuff. So such things are not really natural to the marketplace, if you really think about it. Because, okay, this is the goods in demand, this gold coin, right? Let's talk about gold coin, because we get confused with paper, right? And then we know how the jump was made to paper. But let's talk about real money, the asset that's being coveted.
Even the dollar bill till 1973.
Right. It's a form of gold, right? Redeemable. So if you take the gold coin, everything becomes clear, the coin, the coinage. So if you take a metal coin, gold, say, and so it was exchanged several times in several transactions. Why is it your moral responsibility to see the first trade or some kind of trade that's not approved by some people in between? So a moral judgment, say somebody used it to, somebody's producing a particular good or a service that you don't approve. Okay. We can think of any such services, right? People talk about the oldest profession in the world. Okay. Prostitution, they say. Okay. So people talk about these things, and there's a strong moral connotation. Some people approve, some people say, hey, I don't care as long as, it's consensual, people are adults. So people have all range moral views on this, right? Let's say there was a gold coin that somebody got in exchange for a service as such. Okay, I call it service to keep it professional. Okay, so and so to make it morally neutral. Okay, so in exchange for service, this person got this coin, and now he or she went out and bought something else with that, and this coin landed with somebody else. And somebody else bought something with that, and this coin landed somebody else. So finally it came to you and I. And so is it our responsibility? Is it necessary? Is it, does it have any utility in us demanding where all this gold coin has passed through? Is it our business to do that as an individual accepting it? No, I don't think so. Because in that case, everyone has to stop and verify every transaction in the world from the beginning of time. And anytime it doesn't fit with your moral compass, such transaction, it has to be stopped and we can't accept it. So this is, I've seen some, if I make a jump here, I don't want to make such a complex jump, but I have to. If people talk about organic produce, right, in the supply chain, and they're saying, okay, this product that I'm consuming, I can understand keeping track of the organic nature of the goods. Let's say I go to Walmart and buy something, I want to check, and people have proposed blockchain as a great example in supply chain to have a traceability, right? Where it was produced and finally these goods landed with me, I can verify it. I understand that because that's something I want. But then people have broadened their moral compass so much in the recent times that they want to know the factory that produced these goods. Did they employ child labor? Were they of proper moral value? Were there illegitimate trade involved? So you see how complex it becomes when you ask for this chain. You can never buy a single product anymore in your life from anybody, because somewhere along the chain, in supply chain of production of this complex good, okay, somebody did not fit your moral your moral views, did not subscribe to moral views or violated your moral, your ethics in producing that. And it becomes really, really hard. But people are trying to do that. So they're legitimate users in supply chain, right, for blockchain. And I know I'm introducing a tangential topic here. And they're like nonsensical use cases for this. And people are confused. And we'll deconstruct it maybe in a later episode. But let me get back to this. So when people say black money, this money, and traceability, why traceability? When you can authenticate a piece of gold, a coin, as the proper payment for the goods that you gave, delivered to somebody, and they gave it to you. And do you want to know who their grandfather killed to get them? Okay. And what is it? Was it a legitimate fight for self-defense that his grandfather killed somebody, or was it he was a murderer and a criminal? So who makes a judgment, by the way? Do you have the time in the marketplace? So marketplace freezes if people do that. So money unnecessarily has been tainted as black money, dead money, you know.
I've never seen any of those colors. I've only seen green dollar bills.
Right.
Even the ones that are black dollar bills are green dollar bills. Even the blood money is green dollar bills.
Yeah, exactly. So what I'm saying is I'm taking a morally neutral view, because economics has to be decoupled from your political views or your ethical views or whatever you have, because you know, otherwise you can't take this traceability back and back. Otherwise economic activity freezes in the marketplace. So that's the example I gave, the prostitution example, right? In payment, and the payment goes to somebody else. So I just want to put it out, because today it's possible to track transactions. But do we want to? Should we?
Thanks for listening to the Crypto Knights. Never miss an episode. Subscribe now at www.cryptonights.io.